Cosgrove Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Niver. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at CosgroveGraceChurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Niver.
I'm speaking from Luke chapter 15 this morning, and I've entitled this message, "Which Son Are You?" Now, this is probably the most famous of all of the Lord's parables. It's the story of the prodigal son and his elder brother. In Luke chapter 15, we read, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them." Now the target audience at this time is the scribes and Pharisees, who resented the fact that Christ received sinners and even ate with them. And he gave this specific parable to them. And this is one parable given in three different parts. There's the parable of the lost sheep. There's the parable of the lost coin. And there's the parable of the lost son. Now, these three parables in one parable represent the work of the Son. They represent the work of the Spirit. And they represent the work of the Father in salvation. And in all three of these parables, we have something lost, something found, and some rejoicing that took place. We read of the lost sheep, a wayward sheep, going astray, and the shepherd coming after it and bringing it back home. We read of a lost coin, a part of a woman's wedding dowry, something that was dead and senseless and couldn't do anything to help find it. And the woman coming, representing the work of the Holy Spirit, and finding. Then we read of the lost son. He willfully and wickedly left his father, asking for his inheritance early, and went and spent his money on riotous living, and him coming back to the father. Now, this parable was given to the Pharisees, the religious people who objected to our Lord receiving sinners and eating with him. And I believe that this parable probably sounded very strange to them. Who would leave 99 sheep in the wilderness, vulnerable to any kind of attack, to go after one sheep? Who would do something like that? When he thinks of this young man, who would make a request for their inheritance early like this? And what about this father? Why would he give it to him in the first place? They saw very many things in this story that they did not understand and certainly did not approve of. But let's begin reading in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15 about this prodigal son and his elder brother. And I'm asking the question, which son are you? Now, beginning in verse 11 of Luke chapter 15, we read, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." Now, this is what he was supposed to get when his father died. But he says, "I want my inheritance early." What he's saying is, "I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. I want to get out of this place. Give me the portion of goods that is fallen to me." And he divided unto them his living. He gave up his inheritance early. Verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country." He wanted to get away from his father as far as he could. And he went into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He squandered all of this wealth on riotous living. He had the funds and the money to support this immoral lifestyle, and he was enjoying it. Wine, women, and song, a life of riotous living. And this might have gone on months, might have gone a few years. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, the time came when the money ran out. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. The Lord sent it. And he began to be in want. Now, this place that he was at is no longer an attractive place to be. He had a lot of fun for a long time, but there's no fun now. He's completely run out of money. He squandered all of his wealth. A mighty famine hits the land, and he begins to be in want, in need, lacking, destitute. He was in a much worse condition. Oh, he was so grieved. He began to be in want. And he didn't realize that this state actually is the first state of blessedness. To find out your need. He began to be in want. Now, he didn't have any wants before this, but now all of a sudden, he begins to be in need. I love that scripture. The whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He healed them that had need of healing. He began to be in need. And we read in verse 15, so he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. He joined a church and they put him to work. That's what that citizen of that country represents. You know, people get tired of the life of sin and the wages of sin and the difficulties their life of sin has created for them, and so they join a church. They get religious. And he is put to work in the ultimate indignity for a Jew. He's sent to feed swine, no lower. And he was made to see that in his efforts to make his plight better, it only grew worse. Then we read in verse 16, and he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, his beginning to be in want reached its final consummation. No man gave to him. He was perishing with hunger. He went from what he thought was the top of the mountain down to the bottom. He had bottomed out. Have you ever been there? He had bottomed out. He reached the bottom. And then we read in verse 17, and when he came to himself. I love that. When he came to himself. When his mind was changed. I couldn't help but think of the Gadarene demonic that we read about in Mark chapter 5, who was so crazy, so insane. But when the Lord did something for him, we read where he was sitting at the feet of Christ, clothed and in his right mind. Now, a lost man is crazy. Somebody that believes salvation by works is insane. But he came to himself. Now, if this is the only part of that parable we had, we would think, well, him coming to himself is why he was saved. He turned things around, but we forget about the first two stories, the lost sheep going astray and the lost coin being unable to do anything for itself. There we see the son going after the lost sheep. The sheep didn't seek the Savior. The Savior sought the sheep. And the coin didn't seek the woman. The woman sought and found the coin. And this is a result of the work of God the Holy Spirit in him. He came to himself. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now the hired servants that had bread enough to spare, that's the lowest form of a servant. And his father was a wealthy and a generous man. And he took care of the lowest servants. And he remembers that about his father. He says, how many of the hired servants, the lowest servants in my father's house, have bread enough to spare, and I'm perishing with hunger. He says in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father. He has completely different thoughts about his father. You see, his mind has been changed. He wanted to get away from his father. Now he wants to come to his father. And he says, I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now this young man was aware of his sin. He said, Father, I've sinned against heaven. My sin is against God. That's why it's so bad. And I've sinned against thee. He confesses his sin. Now, when you confess your sin, what you're doing is you're taking side with God against yourself. It's all your fault. You confess that. My sin, I've ruined myself. I've ruined other. I've ruined myself. This is all my fault. I've sinned. No excuses, no self-vindication, no self-justification. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Now, this is so important. You know, when the Lord brings somebody to their right mind, all sense of entitlement leaves. They know they deserve nothing from God's hand. He said, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. You know, when I hear people arguing with the gospel, they argue God's way of salvation. They say, how can it be fair for God to elect some and pass by others? How can it be fair for Christ to die only for the elect and not for everybody? God is unjust. This is not right. How could this be fair? I know. Here's someone who's never been humbled before God. Because if you're ever humbled before God and see your sin, you won't be speaking like that. You'll be speaking like this young man, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. I'd be awful grateful for any mercy you send my way. Verse 20, and he arose, and he came to his father. How long this journey took, I don't know, but you can imagine his reeking and emaciated frame at this time coming back to his father. And we read in verse 20, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's the reception he had from his father. His father saw him first. You see, his father was looking for him. And his father knew he would return. He knew it. And this depicts God. God knows his erring children will return. And he was waiting on him. And when he came, the father saw him, and he was moved with compassion. He wasn't angry. He was moved with compassion. And he ran to him. And he fell on his neck. And he kissed him with many kisses. With many kisses. Oh, he was so glad to see him. So the son starts to try to put out his speech. Verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But even while he said this, while he was speaking, the father said to the servants, you bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be married. For this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now I love to picture this in my mind. The son is trying to make his confession, and the father says, bring forth the best robe. Don't hand it to him, put it on him. Now, I have no doubt that that robe represents the garment of salvation, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wedding garment, fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness of the saints, which is nothing less than the righteousness, the perfect merits of Jesus Christ. He's altogether beautiful in this lovely robe. The ring indicates this eternal covenant that has been made with this young man. When you give a ring in marriage, it's because I'm going to love you forever. I'm never going to leave you. A ring represents an eternal covenant. And put the shoes on his feet. He's not a barefoot servant, but he's my son. And I'm giving him the grace to walk in the gospel. He's received completely. Now, what extravagant, unexpected grace. This is a complete and an immediate reconciliation. There's no probationary period. This is complete forgiveness by the Father. Full acceptance, full love, complete and immediate forgiveness. And they begin to have a party. Kill the fatted calf, there's music, there's dancing, there's a party going on. The lost son has been received. And how touching that is. He ruined himself. And his Father received him safe and sound. And he received him completely. You know, God's just not like us, is he? What a glorious God of all grace. And how he rejoiced. This my son, he was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. Let's go on reading. Verse 25. Now, his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He knew there was a party going on. And he thought, what's this all about? Verse 26, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. That brother who run off a long time ago and brought humiliation and embarrassment upon the family, who had taken his father's money and wasted it with riotous living. Thy brother has come home. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now, was he happy? No. Scripture says he was angry. You know, I bet this is the first person those Pharisees could identify with. They couldn't identify with the father receiving the son. They couldn't identify with the son being received this way. But now, we can understand this man. We'd be mad too. I mean, this man makes such a mess of things, and it's all his fault. And he's just received with no consequences to his actions? That's not right. So he was angry, and he would not go in. There was no rejoicing on his part that his brother had come home. He wasn't happy. He was angry. He perceived this as just not being fair. You know, that is a child learns very early, or responds very early, this is not fair. This is not fair. How many children think that? And it goes all the way through life. This is not fair. That's what the 11th hour workers and the 1 hour workers and the 12 hour workers, the people that work 12 hours, they said it's not fair. It's not right for that one who only worked an hour to get the same thing as us. Something's wrong with this. This picture is bad. I don't believe this. This is not fair. How can this be? Well, have you ever understood justification? You see, this boy that was received safe and sound, he was getting exactly what he deserved because of what Christ has done for him. You see, when you're received by the Father, yes, it's mercy, yes, it's grace, and yes, it's justice, yes, it's righteousness. You see, when you're received by the Father, it's because you're justified. It's because Christ bore your sins and put them away and gave you His very own righteousness and covered you and put the ring of His eternal covenant on your finger and gave you grace to walk in the shoes that He's provided. You've been saved. You've been justified. And this man had no concept of that. He had no concept of rejoicing in somebody being justified or forgiven freely. He was mad and he stayed outside. He wouldn't even go in. And then we read Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now, the father was merciful. The father was gracious. He said, come on in and join. Verse 29, but he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath defiled thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now think about what he said. He said, I've served you these many years, unlike this miserable son of yours. I've been faithful. And then he embellishes it. I never transgressed thy commandment at any time. Does anybody believe that? I don't believe that for a second. And look at the way he tries to expose his brother. He points out that his brother had devoured his father's living with harlots. Now, we don't learn that at the first of the text. We know it was right to his living, but we don't know what it was. But he wants to expose this man's sin. The way he speaks of his brother, there's no rejoicing. He's saying, where's fairness? Where's justice? Are there no consequences to actions? Here, I've been so faithful, I've been so good, and I've served you like this, and you haven't given me anything. You never killed the fatted calf for me. You've just left me alone. This is not right. This is not fair. And he speaks really disrespectfully to his father. He doesn't say, father. He says, look, look, look what I've done. Oh, there's no true respect. You see, Pharisees always hate free grace. You see, he wouldn't go into the party because he thought, I've been disrespected. I've been wronged. I've not been treated fairly. And that's the way Pharisees always respond to grace. They hate this thing of free grace. What do you think of free grace? I see this man standing outside in sullenness. He's upset. Now, what scares me about this man is I see a lot of me in him. Yes, I see myself in that prodigal who returned. Oh, how that moves me. But I see a lot of myself in this man. Which son are you? Really, really, the whole point of this parable is this elder brother. He's speaking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are the elder brother. Now, verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fat calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. Now, I think it's very interesting that this story is left open-ended. We don't know if the elder brother repented and said, oh, Father, you're right. I'm sorry for being such a self-righteous jerk. I'm glad he's back too. And he goes into the party. We don't know if he became so angry that he said, I'm just parting ways with this family. I've had it. I'm not going to have anything to do with anybody. We're really not left with a ending. And we like it all happily ended ever after. You know, we love a good ending, but the Lord doesn't give us an ending to this story. He leaves it open. And I believe I know why. Which brother are you? Now, God is going to meet me and He's going to meet you on the ground we want to come to Him on. If you want to come to the Father on the ground of pure, free grace, complete forgiveness, He'll meet you on that ground. He really will. And if you want to come on the basis of your works, what you've done, He'll meet you on that ground too. He'll meet you on the ground that you want to come. Now, do you want to come like the first son. Father, I sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm not worthy to be called thy son. I have no rights. I have no entitlement. All I deserve is hell. And the only hope I have is what you will do for me. You come to him on that ground. Mercy. Grace. He'll meet you on that ground. And that's the end of your story. You come to him on the ground of what you've done, your works, your efforts, your religion, your obedience. Come on that ground. See what happens. He'll meet you on the ground you want. If you want to come in your own righteousness and in your own merits, he'll meet you on that ground, and it's not going to be a good ending for you. Now, how does the story end for you? Well, I know how the story ends for me. All I have is what this man had, sin. That's the story on me. I've sinned. All my sin is all my fault. And I can't come to God by way of merit because I don't have any merit. The only hope I have right now, I'm not talking about when I was first saved, I'm talking about right now. The only hope I have is the free grace of God in Christ Jesus. Now, which way do you come? This is the ending of my story. I want him to, as I'm utterly amazed, I hear him say, bring forth the best robe, the robe of my righteousness, and put it on him. And put the ring of my eternal covenant and eternal love on his finger. And give him shoes to walk in the gospel of grace. He gives everything. And oh, there's a party. There's joy. There's joy there. But you know, there's no joy in salvation by works. There's just this, I've not been treated fairly, thinking I've got something coming. May the Lord deliver us from being this older son. And may we be the younger one, coming in and being received of the Father and given this extravagant, amazing grace. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. And we'd like to invite you to services at Todd's Road Grace Church. Our services begin this morning at 10:30, this evening at 6, and on Wednesdays at 7.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.